Right. Well, good morning, everybody. Miss Esther and Pat and Steve this morning. Doubly so because my phone was refusing to contact Norman. He nearly went, called round and dragged them out of their beds and down to church. But amen. Glad you could be here. We'll begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Your loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength, Lord, for all of the many blessings and helps that you've sent our way just to get us here this morning. Now thank you, Lord, that we still have the freedom to meet together around your word, to discuss it, to think on it, to meditate upon it, to study it, to commit it to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray you please, not just for ourselves and not just for the thanks for ourselves being about, but for all those that are able to be in church this morning. I pray you, Lord, for the fellowship and the preaching and teaching of your word and the praises and the tithes and the offerings, Lord, right the way across the world, and for those that stand and bring the message, Lord, your good hand upon them. Pray you too, Lord, for those that can't be out. We do miss Pat and Steve here and Esther. And I know, Lord, there are Pats and Steves and Esthers right the way across the world. And I pray especially for Twyla today, Lord, over in Grace Bible, that you just put your good hand upon her, please. Lord, we remember too the Queen, Elizabeth, as she mourns the loss of her husband, and as children mourn the loss of a father and grandchildren the loss of a grandfather, and I think even great-grandchildren too. Please, Lord, I pray you, just be with the Queen and her family at this time. And I pray you, Lord, that through the death of her husband, Prince Philip, that you would work in their hearts and minds and give them pause to think about their eternity and draw them to the foot of the cross. And likewise, Lord, for all those that are mourning lost loved ones, our mourning loved ones, Lord, please, I pray you put your good hand upon them. But Lord, we pray you'd be one of our number. You just take your time among us this morning. We hold you to your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'll be there in the midst. Take your time with us this morning, Lord, please, and minister to us. As we lift up our prayers and praises and everything else, Lord, please lead us and guide us. I ask this all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our hymn books this morning. And we'll begin at number 65. Hymn number 65, that is Just Over in Glory Land. The way things are going right now, it might be a lot sooner than many people think.
Sing God's praise and His glory. thought that my Lord I'll see just over in the glory land, and with kindred safe there forever be, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land, with the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land, glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
Amen. Amen. That's a good one to get us going of a morning. If you keep your hymn books open and turn to 153 next, 153, we will sing How Firm a Foundation. You good?
Morning's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to life after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare it with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for that a man seeth, who doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for the sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. That was a Romans chapter 8 has got a bunch of amazing verses in there. Amen. Appreciate those. Some of them, of course, refer to our service this morning. But we'll get to that whenever we get to that. Just want to remind you to make sure that you have one of those little pink prayer lists, and I want for you to be sure that you take time during the week at least once. If you have time in your hands once a day, we really, let's be honest, if we took out 10 minutes of TV watching or Facebook clicking or something like that, or whatever, WhatsApping or Twittering, we could pray over all of those every day of the week and maybe multiple times in the week. But please do pray about all of those. There's a couple of things that aren't actually on the list. There's that wee girl that is an acquaintance of Steve's granddaughter, Ellie Powley. Please do pray for her. She was in a hit and run over in England. She's only 13 or 14. I think she had broken two breaks in the pelvis and arms and broken ribs and this, that and the other. And she's got a long road ahead of her. So just because you have time in your hands doesn't mean that you're going to make right decisions or consider your eternity, because look at the whole world that had so much time in its hands it didn't know what to do with it, and yet there's no record numbers of people coming to Christ and people beating down the doors of the churches. But please do pray for Ellie Powley and her family. Please also remember the Grantia crash at this particular time. And if you'd spare a thought for the Windsor family, for Elizabeth and her family, as she mourns the passing of her husband, Philip. You may or may not agree with the monarchy. That is entirely up to you. But this is a woman that knows everybody, or is known by everybody, and she just lost her husband. So spare a thought for her. We pray for other complete strangers that lose loved ones, and we should pray for them as well. And if there was ever a family that needed the hand, the touch of the Lord in it, it's the Windsor family. So pray for them at this time too. And of course there's the Curry family and the Diamond family, and who was that other family? Don't forget the Fleckners as well. Had a phone call from Mrs. Fleckner last night. And all those that have lost loved ones, It doesn't stop whenever everybody goes home from the funeral, as you all know. So please do pray for those folks and for yourselves. Amen. I would also like for you to pray for Christy. He will be hitting the road and he's going to need lots of prayers because the way things are looking, it reminds me of the opening scene of Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom, working your way across the paving slabs, and you don't know if you're going to step on one, if it's going to hold your weight or go. Pray for us too. We are looking and praying for transport. It may or may not work, so we're praying about it, but pray for Christy. He's supposed to be getting married in just over a month's time, and we're praying that he is going to get married in just about a month's time and he doesn't end up becoming a Mexican citizen. So pray for Christy and Taylor and the arrangements for that. I'd like to finish on good news, and it is good news. It's exciting news, and I'm pleased for them both. So don't forget that as well. I have everybody with a line under their names for private prayer requests to take it. That still stands. Everybody has things that just between them and the Lord. That's good. Please do continue to pray for our country. A good step in the right direction would be getting rid of the abortion laws and gay marriage laws that were foisted upon us. That was definitely a bit of a strong arm move there, but we're seeing that quite a lot in our governments right now. So please do pray for all of the people that are supposed to be running the country instead of just running their mouths or running their bank accounts. Please do pray for them. They really do need to be greatly convicted, just like everybody else was that ever got saved. But please do pray for here, for America, for Russia, for China, for goodness, the Lord knows all the leaders. You need to be much in prayer, and don't forget Israel. We are commanded to pray for and to be nice to be good to Israel. And the Lord said, if you're good to my people, I'll be good to you. So bear that in mind. Are there any special thanks that we need to be?
The day you got here.
There you go.
Special snow.
Got the church. For the snow and the hail and the rain and the sunshine. This is just a typical day in Northern Ireland. There you go. Got the church. Health and strength. I am pleased about things with Monica. So far, so good. Still in the recuperation phase and could be for months, but moving in the right direction at least. And we're still glad to have Frank with us as well. So, amen. And in case you're wondering, whenever you land in church and the wee bit of leaf or paper that you left here on the previous service is not here, I want to thank everybody that lends a hand maintaining the church. And whether it's hammering a nail in or pushing a hoover around, or dusting or wiping floors or whatever, I appreciate it. And I think you may not appreciate it because you don't think about it, but it's just like everything else. There's the foundational work that goes into keeping things going is only the 90% that you don't see sitting under the water. You only see the 10% that sits above the water like icebergs. But I appreciate it all. I appreciate the Bible readings. I'm giving Christy... I'll write you a note for the next few weeks, Christy, so you don't have to speak on a Sunday evening. I'm writing you a note. But you'll have me back in the saddle again on Sunday evenings from here on in. Christy has, if I say he has a lot of loose ends to tie up, it makes it sound very nefarious. But he has PhD work to do and preparations for house rentals and this, that and the other. So please do pray about that. It's there's a lot of changes coming up in the very near future.
Good changes.
Good changes, oh yeah. Good changes. So please do pray for. Please do pray for. Amen. I think that's about that. You lead us in a word of prayer, well, if you would.
Father, I thank this day, Lord, and thank you for safe and securely to show us today, Lord. We offer a number of blessings, each and every head is covered, and every household is represented, and the family is represented today, Lord. And we thank you for the sunshine, despite the snow earlier on, Lord. We know that there's no large thing for you to to overcome, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us and to save us, to point us to be the heir of grace that was purchased through Jesus on the cross of Calvary, Lord. With Miss Umbrella, Lord, with Leonard, Lord, with John Collins, Stephen, Lord, and Esther, Lord, and Pat and Steve, Lord, yes, and many others, Lord, that we want to come to church, Lord, with them all, Lord, and bless them, Lord, and with the Stephen, Pat, Steve's condition, Lord, his health situation, Lord, help him overcome, Lord, and he'll, help him and soothe his pain and his anguish also, Lord, and his, and give him sleep, Lord, also, and with Esther in that regard also, Lord, and help her, the Lord, as well, Lord. Lord, bless this day, Lord, with the, our country, Lord, with the royal family, give him, help him to, help him in the grieving process over Prince Philip, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and give him some grace, Lord, and Lord, specifically point him the way of the truth of the cross, Lord, that their sins may be washed away, Lord, through by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord. This day, Lord, with Mark as a country priest, Lord, provide for me, keep Lord, and give him a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and give us a message today, Lord, both tonight and today, Lord, and we wish to give.
Amen. All right, one more before we open our hymn books, our Bibles, 406. Who is on the Lord's side? 406. We'll remain seated for this, and then I will, I was going to say, I'll let you give your jaws, your mouths a rest for a little bit, but we'll certainly work your ears. How's about that? 406, who is on the Lord's side?
Divine, we are on the Lord's side.
may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanged.
Victory is secure, as I've heard one or two preachers say it. I've read the last couple of pages of this book and we win. But why not be on the winning side? In fact, in Romans chapter 8, where Norman was reading this morning, Romans 8 and 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So, amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 this morning. Luke chapter 18, if you'd like to take and turn there. I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of prayer this morning, and where the title is Talking with the Lord. I had a whole bunch of titles. It's a funny thing, whenever I type one down, I think, no, I could use that as a title. And one was going to be Two with and For. Talking to the Lord, talking with the Lord, and talking for the Lord. But that would be a completely different message. We're talking with the Lord this morning, and I want to read the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18 to you. I want to thank you all for being here, and I thank Norman for the Bible reading. Romans chapter 8 is a substantial chapter in the Word of God, but there's so many wonderful verses in it. Luke 18, verse number 1. And he, that's Jesus, spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. So unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. That is our Bible reading. We're speaking on the subject of prayer, and we will continue after a wee prayer of our own. Christy, if you would lead us, please.
Lord, we come to you today to thank you for many blessings, Lord, for salvation. This time, Lord, around your word, we ask and pray that you would guide the preacher, Lord, this hour, that you would give every word, every thought, Lord, that needs to be spoken, that you would look in each heart, Lord, and see, Lord, that the most significant need this morning, Lord, that each chord would be struck and rung, Lord, and we would leave here, Lord, strengthened, knowing, Lord, that you still care, Lord, you still provide for our needs. We thank you for that in advance, Lord. Please help those that aren't here, Lord, be with them. We pray that you would touch those that are sick, Lord, for any silent battles going on, any situations, Lord, that look like there's a defeat coming their way, Lord, just give them victory and pray. Lord, be with our sister churches. Remember them. Be with the preachers, Lord, and the hearers, that you would strengthen your church today in these times, I pray. And Lord, we do mourn, Lord, in these times that the many casualties there have been, spiritually speaking, to COVID as well. And Lord, we think of the royal family today, that you'd help them, Lord, comfort their hearts too. Lord, remember missionaries. Be with them, Lord. Please just guide their paths, Lord, save lost souls. Lord, help us in this city to be a light for you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Amen. I want to spend just a I was going to say a few minutes. It never works out as a few minutes. Some minutes, many minutes, speaking on the subject of prayer this morning, talking with the Lord. And as we, open the service today, I could almost certainly guarantee you that there are not more people praying in the world today than there were, even a year ago. I am sure, as Christy mentioned, in prayer there, that there has been a great casualty list of, I would say, even Christians whose faith and walk with the Lord has been broken by this time that they have been set aside from attending their normal church services. And there is a reason that the Lord said that we were not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need it. You might not feel like you need it, and you might grind your teeth a bit when you're coming to Bethel on a Sunday morning and now a Sunday evening when you don't have Christy's good looks to tickle your eyes with when he stands at the front of the church and you've... Did you send short messages? Shorter messages? That's Stan you're thinking about. But we still need to be here. And sometimes it's not that you're going to get a great blessing from the wonderful and eloquent preaching that's going to dance up and down the hall of Bethel. Sometimes it's a test of you. Whether you can pull yourself out from under your quilt and pull your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on and actually convey yourself to the building. It's a test of your faith, not just of my eloquent speaking and my service construction. It's important that we talk with God, because for all of our greatest plans and schemes and ambitions, He's the one that knows what's actually going to happen around the corner or tomorrow or in the next hour. The little piece of scripture that we begin with in verse number one here starts with a parable and an exhortation. He says, this is a parable. He's not talking about an actual unjust judge, although we've come across plenty of them, I am sure, in our days and weeks and months and years. He's talking about an example of an unjust judge, but he ends the first verse with an exhortation. And I want for you to understand the importance, without sounding like one of these heavy... Have anybody ever heard of a heavy shepherder? Basically a minister that organizes people's lives for them in the church. I have enough bother organizing my own. I am not interested in organizing your life. I'm hopeful that you'll organize it properly and include the Lord as the foundation part of it. But he says, pray. Always. And don't stop. It's important. If God says it, and he says it, I've just picked out a few verses to as the leaders for three or four different sections that I would like to mention this morning. If it's important and it's in the Bible, then it's not a suggestion and it's not a hypothetical. It's an actual commandment from God. What is it they used to say? From his lips to our ears. And when we don't do that, we're selling ourselves short. We are impeding the relationship that you as a Christian have with God. And you're actually doing yourself out of a blessing and out of power when you don't take time in God's presence. It caused a great amount of fear in the children of Israel in Moses' day. And you know what? There's nothing like a bit of the fear of God in people's hearts and minds to get them thinking right. Anyway, it goes on to tell us this story about a judge. And the Lord says, as an example of how we should pray, it says we should pray faithfully. In other words, keep coming to the Lord in prayer. Keep conversing with him, which means that you talk and then you shut up and then you open your ears and let God talk. And whenever he's done talking, he'll stop and let you talk some more. But that's what conversation is. And the more you talk with someone, the more you're going to learn about the person. That's one of the reasons we have a bit of fellowship in the church, because as you talk to someone, you might actually find something that someone needs a bit of prayer with. That's up to you to do that. You'll learn more, you'll trust more, and you'll love more. And especially if you're applying that recipe to your relationship with the Lord, if you'll give him a little bit of time, you will never be short for the things that you need to do. As we're talking about an unjust judge here, we're talking about a man with authority. And we're not talking about the authority that a judge might have today, pretty much the authority that ends once they step out through the front door of the building. Judges would even have had maybe their own private bodyguards. They quite literally would have had the power of life and death over people. And this is the sort of man that we're seeing here. And I want for you to know, it's talking about an unjust judge. The things that the unjust judge says here are not a reflection of what God says. The whole idea is to give an example of God's patience, of the time that we need to put into our prayer, not God's thoughts. I want you to remember that. Not every item of every parable has a direct analogy with God. Many of them just refer to things that happen in the world so that people can actually get to grips with them. The judge. Judge, basically, the Bible says, wasn't afraid of God nor man. And you know what the Bible says about the priests in the old day, a man of God? It says, never lay your hands on them. It says, never lay your hands on God's anointed. If you ever recall to mind the great tale of David being chased by Saul across the promised land, there were a few times that he literally had Saul's life in his hands, but he would not touch God's anointed. And you know God sorted that out later. But this judge wasn't afraid of priests. He wasn't afraid of the high priest of the country. He wasn't afraid of the other people in the country, the rulers of the country. His love was the law. And I want for you to understand that the woman that came to him, she wasn't coming with a bogus claim to the court. She had a genuine claim. She had someone that had done her wrong, and she wanted the judge to do something about it. The judge didn't care about the religion of the country, and he didn't care about the big cheeses in the country. He didn't care about anybody in the country. I think he just cared about the law and whenever it suited him. And this woman kept coming. Help me, give me justice, she said over and over and over again. But he wasn't bothered. He had his own agenda, his own timetable, and that was going to be adhered to. And I know that is a direct analogy of what is going on in the world today with our Lord and Savior. Eventually, though, he says within himself, do you know what? She's going to end up bugging me. If I don't give her justice, she's going to do nothing but bug me. And so he goes and sorts her out. And it goes on and it finishes with the explanation of the parable. Someday, God is going to come back and he is going to visit the just rewards to everybody, to every lost soul. They will get exactly what they deserve. And if you recall to mind, the Lord in the parable of the sheep and the goats, when he separated them out, all the things that we do to the Lord will be rewarded. And he said, but we never saw you, Lord. And he said, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me, you'll be rewarded accordingly. And those souls that do evil to God's people and indeed to anybody, he said, inasmuch as you didn't do good to the least of these, my brethren, well then, I'm afraid hard times are coming your way, and they're going to come your way forever and ever. Not the sort of position you want to find yourself in. The point of this particular parable is to persevere, to be faithful, to attend in the presence of God faithfully, to keep going. There are prayers of faith. Have you ever heard of those? Where people will pray once and the burden is removed from them and that's that. And in faith they believe that the Lord is going to answer that prayer and has removed the burden. But there's also faithfully praying, and we will come to that. God's not a slot machine. I want for you to know that. It's not like putting a pound in and pulling out a can of Coke or a half a litre of, what were we talking about, Mountain Dew. It's not like that. It's not about the prayer of Jabez that a lot of times you will see in some in so-called Christian circles, that if you pray this prayer, that God will answer your prayers right away. That is not the way God works. He's not a slot machine. He's not a computer. He's not a force to be bent to your will. There's a reason there's called three persons. There's a reason, excuse me, God can be offended and God can repent of his decisions. That doesn't mean he changes his mind. It means that we change our minds and he's able to bless us instead of chastening us, that sort of thing. God is a person. God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. And God the Holy Spirit is a person. And whenever it is within their will, they will answer your prayers. And it's always a good idea to do that. And whenever it is in their timing, God will answer your prayers. There's a great little verse in 2 Peter chapter 3 where it says that the Lord's not willing or not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. And the verse before it says that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. His faithfulness, his dependability is unquestionable. It will happen whenever he says it is going to happen. But I was also reminded, as soon as I read this, about in the book of Revelation, it talks about a bunch of folks who had given up their lives for the testimony of the Lord during the tribulation and great tribulation. And under the Lord's throne, they are crying out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? In other words, and it's, notice it didn't say on a particular man, it says on them that dwell in the earth, all the people that go into making devilment and wickedness possible. Those that never stood up and said no, that went along with it just so that they could stick the boot into someone that was on the ground, they're in the dock. They'll all be charged individually, and there'll be no crowds to bail them out, and there'll be no crowds to hide their shenanigans. The Lord knows exactly who does what. Anyway, it says that there was white robes given unto them, and that they should rest a little while until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The Lord, things are going to happen, but things are actually happening right now. The Lord calls us to pray faithfully. But he also calls us to pray consistently. Now, some of these might seem like we're splitting a few hairs. I was reminded in James 1 where it talks about the double-minded man. Have you ever heard of that one? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, they say men and women are not equal, and I absolutely agree with that. This should make this even more interesting for people listening. We are not equal. We're physically different. Our mental makeup is different. We're complementary. We're definitely not equal. Not physically, not mentally, not temperamentally. We are complementary. But we, regardless, are supposed to be always pointed in the one direction. We are supposed to use our passions and our joys and our ambitions, and we're supposed to harness them as well as our angers and our hatreds of bad things, like horses. We're supposed to harness them and point them in the direction that they need to go to get things done. And if we keep going back and forwards and back and forwards, we'll never get anything done. We'll be like the grand old Duke of York's men. Marched them up to the top of the hill and they ended up neither up nor down and got nowhere. And that's the same with many Christians because they're not consistent. They're not sure in which direction they're supposed to be going because they have not consulted the map, the King James Bible. They don't know what God wants of them. They don't know what is allowed. They don't know what is not allowed, and therefore don't know what to pray for. The Lord says pray for everything, and we should. And if even if we're praying for things that, I was reminded of something my wife, a story, an account that my wife shared about a minister who was praying that a sister in Christ's prayers would be answered until, was it one day he asked, what are you actually praying for? And she was praying that God would kill her husband so she could shack up with somebody else. Or maybe he was giving her a hard time, but she was praying for her husband to die. And he was praying, the minister, that her prayers would be answered. We're not supposed to, what does the Bible say? It's not supposed to be the way we work. We're not supposed to call fire down from heaven. It's not up to us to judge. Jesus didn't come to judge. What does it say in John 3? He says he came to seek and to save because we're judged and found guilty and condemned already. We need to be saved. So we need to know what to pray for. I can't tell you in the little bit of time that we have here, except to say as you read the Bible, and if you are prepared to take the word of God into your heart, that's like God adjusting the tiller on a boat or the wheel on a car, and keeping you pointed in the right direction, true north, if you want to call it that. That's obviously if you need to go. We need to be consistent in our prayer. We also need to be constant in our prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, does anybody know? Pray without ceasing. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. So there's a something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to thank God. We're not supposed to quench the Spirit, which means we're supposed to obey God. And we're not supposed to despise prophesying, even if it's long-winded like mine. That's not just telling the future, that's preaching. We're supposed to test all things. If I come up with something that's new to you, it's up to you to go home and double check the Bible or even come to me and ask me and I'll show you in the Bible. And to abstain even from the appearance of evil. We are supposed to not just take our 3 minutes in bed as we pull the covers up and say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And amen and thank you, and I can read a book, play a game, surf the web before I go to sleep. It's not supposed to be the way Christians work. We should be praying as we go. That's not something that we're born to. Bible says we're born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's something we have to cultivate. It's a relationship that we have to build upon. But that is what we need. Because I don't know about you. Have you ever noticed the way people walk around, I was going to say dressed, but half dressed at the moment? No matter where you go, if there's people, there's probably somebody running around in their underwear. Literally in their underwear. In Tesco's, driving up the road, walking down the road, in a shop, walking from a shop, everywhere. And this is just one example. There's people drinking, there's people smoking. Is it any wonder the Lord said, you need the Holy Spirit from here on in. I'm going to give him to each and every person that comes to me. You're going to need him to protect your heart and your mind and your soul against the constant temptation that there is out there in the world. That is why we need to be in constant touch with God. And then we can say, Lord, do you see that? Would you please just deal with that image that is in my head of somebody that really shouldn't be showing off their bodies, showing off their bodies. And that means everybody that's showing off their bodies. It's not good for husbands to see other women half-dressed, and it's not good for women to see, or for wives to see other men half-dressed. It's not good for young people to think walking around half-dressed is normal. It's not good to think drink is normal. It's not. It's definitely poison. It's not good to think smoking's normal. It's not. And when these things come at us, we should be, Lord, help me. Remember Jehoshaphat, who got tricked into going to war with Ahab? And he said, Jehoshaphat, you go dressed as the king and I'll just go dressed as a soldier. And they all surrounded Jehoshaphat and he said, Lord, help me. And they went, Ahab never calls on the Lord. So they go off looking for him. We need that. God doesn't need it. We need it. The stupid thoughts that go through our head, we should get used to checking the stupid thoughts that go through our head. Lord, I really shouldn't be thinking that. Lord, would you take that thought away? Lord, would you direct me upon the straight and narrow paths? We need it. If we only needed half an hour in a day, the Spirit could quite nicely come upon us and leave, just as it did in the likes of Saul and David and Samson. And we would be fine the rest of the day. But we need it. So take advantage of it and pray constantly. We need also to, and I think this is right at the risk of stretching the titles for these subsections, we need to pray collectively. That means not just together, but about everything. One of the greatest prayer helps that I ever got was in Philippians 4, where it says, don't be worrying about anything, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. Be careful for nothing, it says. Don't worry about stuff. And you know what the reward for you spending a bit of time in the presence of God is? It's better than therapy, it's better than pills, it's better than drink and drugs. It says the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And that means, Lord, I'm having a great difficulty not sticking a knife in this Egypt, quite literally, that is annoying the life out of me. And the Lord will say, remind you about the time. Do you remember reading about me whenever me and the disciples went into that village and they didn't want anything to do with us? And Peter said, do you remember reading this? He'll say to you, Peter said, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven like Elijah used to? And he said, remember what I said to him? I said, it's not the way we're supposed to be. We're to pray about everything. Lord, should I really be drinking? And the Lord will say, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Lord, maybe a wee puff in the cigarette, but your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if you start polluting it, I'll destroy it. What about pornography? If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and if you pollute it, I'll destroy you. What about sports? Have you got a love for something more than me that you will get up early on a Sunday morning to watch the sports, but if it runs over into extra time, church can take a run and jump to itself? You're supposed to be out in church, and that means if sports is on late, you're supposed to make sure that you're in your bed early and ready to go to church in the morning. What about my clothing? Does it show off your muscles, or does it keep you covered and warm and dry whilst you get to church? Does it show off how many steps you do on a Stairmaster, if that's even a thing? Or how many kilos you pump on your dumbbell? Is it to bring glory to you, or is it to bring glory to me? We don't handle power and glory very well at all. It changes us. God said, pray about everything. Is your health bothering you? Pray about your health. Are there things about your work that bother you? Pray about your work. Is there somebody in work that's bothering you? Pray about them. I know I haven't shared for a while, but there was a guy called Eddie that I used to work with, and he was on the management track, computer ignorant, and he used to come in and he used to just get on my wick, really. And I remember praying, Lord, why does Eddie always get on my wick? He's such a smart aleck. He just rubs me up the wrong way. And God said, that's because he's just like you. Let him have a joke. Let him have a win and see what happens. And sure enough, the next day he came in. And he came in telling a joke and poking fun in a good-natured way. And I thought, hey, that's a good one, Eddie. And we were friends after that. It didn't bother me anymore. Pray about everything. Pray about your weekend. Pray about your clothes. If it's bugging you or you're not sure, pray about it. But just remember to do it for God. Pray about everything. The last point I would like to make is about praying constructively, in a constructive fashion. If that's, you'll see what I mean whenever I draw your attention to the model prayer. You know where it says, our Father which art in heaven? The Lord's disciples came up to him and said, Lord, show us how to pray. Have you ever wondered why your prayers are not being answered? Maybe you're not asking the right questions. Maybe you're not praying about the right things. Maybe instead of crying unto the Lord, Abba Father, like it mentioned in Romans 8, we have that privilege. Lord, change the world to suit me. Maybe our prayers would be better directed inwards. Lord, change me. Not to suit the world, but to fit better into the world. To be the person that I need to be in the world for you. Because, Lord, you know me better than anybody else, and you know exactly what I need. But he says, pray constructively. Here's the construction of your prayers. Remember who you're talking to. It's not your mate down the phone that owes you a tenner, or that you owe a tenner to. It's God Almighty that you're speaking to. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is an immensely powerful, loving, but holy being that has invited you into his family. Be in your best behavior. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be looking for Jesus coming back in this world. We're supposed to be working towards that. Do we want people in heaven with us, or do we want to be sitting warming our hands and toasting marshmallows on them when they're burning in the lake of fire? Which one is it? We're supposed to be actually doing something with our Christian lives that points people to the foot of the cross, because Jesus could be back at any time. Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, what? Our daily bread. All the stuff you come across day in and day out, pray about it. Lord, I need this. It doesn't have to be a song and dance prayer full of these and thous and where to fours and here to fours and neverthelesses. The Lord knows how you speak and can understand you just as well. And the Holy Spirit, he's helping there in the background. Pray for stuff you need every day. Your day to day. Food, clothes, money, whatever it is that you need. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Remember that you were forgiven a big bunch. So don't be too quick to stick the boot into people that owe you. Remember to forgive from time to time. The Lord will make up anything that you lose. Don't you worry about that. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive them that trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. More strength? More power? A closer walk with God? Sounds like a good pathway to avoid temptation. But deliver us from evil, and he will always give a way whereby we can take the right path or the wrong path. It's up to us. But bear this in mind. Every single thing that you have belongs to God. I don't know if Frank will bear me out in this one. Do you ever remember me saying in the kids club, be nice to old people because they own everything that you want? Do you ever remember me saying something along that lines? This is not a test, Frank. You can honestly say no. I never listened. I did say an awful lot in the youth fellowship, and I'm sure it was quite easily forgotten or disappeared in with Monica remembers. That's good. Everything that we want belongs to somebody else. But bear in mind, the person that holds the pink slips, as they say in America about vehicles, is God. God holds the pink slips on the earth and everything in it. What was that somebody said? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills. So, be nice about it. Be, if you need to be, a professional Christian when it's hard to be a good Christian. Take the reins of your heart and behave like a child of the King of Kings. Having said goodbye to a lot of brothers and sisters over the past years, I feel a bit for Queen Elizabeth, having had to say goodbye to a husband of over 70 years. That is hard. And she has to put on a good face whenever she goes out, though her heart be breaking. And her family is in the toilet. Her two sons are dead losses. They're a disgrace. How do you think that makes her feel? Not a great help at times like this. We need to behave, to deport ourselves as children of the King of Kings. So remember that as you pray. Remember that. But by way of finishing, and you'll be glad to just see the time is marching on, pray. Just pray. Cultivate a relationship with God. It's a verse that I have mentioned quite a lot over the past little while. I actually have the reference for it with me today. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 12. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Pray. Talk to God. Years ago, whenever I was at Queen's, and it is years ago, goodness. 38 years ago, how's about that, when I kicked off in Queen's, everybody didn't have their portable. We would have died and thought we'd gone to heaven if you'd handed us a mobile phone of maybe 8 or 9 years ago and thought, look at that, 2 cores, 500 megabytes of RAM, my goodness, look at all that. Used to have a payphone. One payphone in the whole building in the Union Theological College behind Queen's University. And about Wednesday or Thursday night, I would ring 3 times my mum and dad's number, and they would ring the payphone. And they said, my dad said to me once, make sure and ring your mother during the week, just to give her peace of mind. And it's, as BT would say, it's good to talk. And I used to do that. Save me 10p, or maybe 20 or 30p. And that's when 20 or 30p was a lot of money. Well, it was the same coming home. We had a way of being in touch. I rang three times. I don't know what everybody else's number was, but I rang three times. And they knew to come and get me in Portadown Railway Station. And it didn't cost me 30 or 40 or 50p in the week to ring home. My mum and dad loved it, and they enjoyed coming to get me and bringing me home and looking after their son and just having this company. Don't say what's changed in the past 30 years. But that's how God feels about us. One of those other verses that Norman read was that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, what? Abba, Father, Daddy. Would you please help me? Can you give me your ear or your wisdom? He loves to hear from you. Whether you're up to your neck in devilment, or whether you're toeing the line and you're saying your prayers and reading your Bible, the Lord wants to hear from you. He loves you that much. He loves you so much that he gave everything for you, and he wants to hear from you. So like my dad said, ring your mother, talk to your father. Talk to your father. We're stopping there. We'll sing a song, and then we're done. Thank you. If you would like to take and turn to hymn number 245, we'll stand as we sing the old account was set.
Provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live,
below. Up there you'll not regret it. You stood long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Pray you have a good Lord's Day. Look forward to seeing you as and when. Well, would you dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, if you would, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, Lord, and thank you for Jesus Christ, sacrifice on the cross, Lord, and thank you for the service, Lord, and the message, Lord, that open our heart to use it to change our lives, especially in regards to prayer, Lord, and have a closer communion as a friend to a friend, Lord, but we are sinners saved by grace, talking to our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're more in communion with Thee, Lord, and our prayers be a sweet incense that comes before Thee from Him. Bless Thee, Lord, the powers to our homes of safety, Lord. Thank you for our meal, our Sunday meal, Lord. Thank you for some of our religious liberties, Lord. You've given to us through this country, Lord. Only by Thy power and by Thy grace, Lord, and by Thy eternal love, you've saved us from our sins, Lord. Bless us, go to our homes of safety, bring us out tonight, point time to your service, Lord. Provide for us, give us for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Folks, thank you. God bless you. Tap elbows and tiptoes. We are...